Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, you know, we were talking last week over in Psalm chapter 1, and we were talking about how we want to get as far away as we can from the old lifestyle and get as far away as possible and run as far as we can with all of our might into the kingdom of God. You know, I suggest that you don't stroll or skip, but run. Run as fast as you can into the kingdom of God and as far as you can into the kingdom. Because as far as you can see, that's what you can have. Isn't that right? Amen. And then the Holy Spirit would be more and more allowed to do His work in us, with us, and do it without hindrance. Amen. Wouldn't that be great? The Holy Spirit working in us without any hindrance. And all we have to do is remove the flesh out of the way. Amen. Amen. And we were talking about renewing our mind. And it comes as a result of, like we saw in Psalm 1, meditating on the Word day and night, giving it first place, giving His Word first place, because we delight in His Word. Isn't that right? And meditating on His Word, keeping it in our thinking, keeping it in our mouth. He said, you shall meditate on the Word day and night. Don't let it depart from your mouth, in Joshua chapter 1. Keep it in the midst of your heart, it says in Proverbs chapter 4. You know, we've got to keep the Word first place in our heart, in our mouth, in our life. Amen? Amen. And then, of course, doing the Word of God. We have to do what the Word of God says. This is not just about a mental knowledge of something like it makes us smart. We have to be doers of the Word, not just hearers only, because if you only hear the Word and not do it, you're living a life of deception, deceiving our own self. Isn't that right? Amen. So we want to do what the Word of God says. And that's how we keep it first place in our life. Amen. So go over to the book of Jude chapter 1 just for a moment. Jude chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Jude chapter 1, it's just before Revelation. Verses 20 and 21. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. You know, we have to build ourselves up in faith because we have to be doers of the Word. Isn't that right? You have to be strengthened to do the Word. This don't just come natural. There is not a human will that's strong enough to do the will of God within the realm of in the spirit realm. When you're facing spiritual adversity, our human will is just wimpy will. And our will has to be renewed and strengthened in the things of God. Amen. And we have to be strengthened up by praying in the Holy Spirit and having a heart of love, keeping a heart of love. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, that's the nature of God. The manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit, love being manifested in joy, peace, endurance, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Amen. And how does faith work? By love. Faith works by love. Build yourself up in faith, keeping in the love of God so that faith can work by love and you'll be strengthened to do the things that you believe in the face of opposition and adversity. Amen. And love, we know love is what? The nature of God. Faith is the power of God, is releasing the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the Word of God, for it is the power of God. The power of God works by the nature of God. To say, all I need is faith, but not grow in love, no, that's not true. You got to have both, because faith works by love, or the power of God works by the nature of God. It's a word of His power, that word that comes from Him and out from His nature. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. John, Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verse 21. John 3:21. It says, but he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. All right, that his deeds would be manifested, or that they would be seen. All right. And what is being seen is that these deeds are wrought in God. Okay. So believing God, you know, believing is an action. You know, back there it says the work of God is to believe. The word believe is a verb. The word faith is a noun. All right, a noun is a person, place, or thing. So faith is a place that we come to and a place that we decide to step into. But believing is when we choose to take action on that faith, okay? So believing then is to produce an action that is manifested into the natural realm. You know, what does it tell us over in 1 Timothy chapter 4? He says, give yourself to these things wholly so that your progress would become evident to all. All right? Well, in order for your progress to become evident to all, we're not talking about just super spiritual people that can discern things in the spirit. It's evident to all, which means even the natural man that don't know anything about spiritual things, that even the natural man can see. Your progress is becoming evident to all. You used to be a real snot and a half, but now you're just so kind. That's progress. Maybe you weren't, okay? I'm talking about myself. So, you know, these things are to progress into the natural realm to where it becomes evident and can be seen. So what should be seen is change taking place in our life. Truth that we're walking in life, faith that we're acting on. It's designed to be seen in our actions, not only heard in our words. You know, if you're going to talk the talk, you have to walk the walk. If you don't walk the walk, your talk is just idle words, unemployed, inoperative, and designed to be judged. But yet words are designed to produce. Isn't that right? Amen. So those things that we believe and those things that we walk in is to become manifested and seen. Progress evident to all. Amen. You know what, so the other side of that, of course, is if our progress is evident to all, so is our lack of progress. I want the progress. How about you? Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 27. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. All right, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. And this is about allowing the Holy Spirit to set up in-house controls in your life. You need in-house control, okay? By the time it comes out of your mouth, it's too late. You know? How many times have you done that? Oh, I wish I didn't say that. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. You know? We need some in-house controls. In fact, it was just the other day, and we were all talking about something, and I was like, well, you know, and I was like, yeah, never mind. A little in-house control, not to say it. Amen. And we have to allow the Holy Spirit to set up in-house controls. Listening to the voice of your human spirit and obeying it. Now, some people, you can get confused with this. If I am a human spirit, then how is it that I have to obey the human spirit? I am a human spirit. Well, you're a human spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. And that which your human spirit declares, unless your mind is set on the things of the spirit, you're not going to do it. Amen. So we want to listen to the voice of our human spirit so that we can obey what we hear within us. Out of our spirit will come direction, will come instruction, and then we need to act accordingly. Amen. Searches all the inward or innermost parts of our being. Well, what are some of those innermost parts of our being? Is he looking at your liver? Your kidneys? What's he looking at? He's looking at your attitude. He's looking at your motives. He's looking at your willingness to obey. He's looking at your love walk. Inward workings. Inward controls, because attitude determines the control of your life. Motive will determine how you control your life and what you do. your willingness to obey God. You know, when I first got saved, my wife and I know this is hard to believe, but when we first got saved, you know, our marriage was rough around the edges, like somebody took a chainsaw to it, really beat it up bad. And, you know, we were always head on about a lot of things. And when I got saved and started finding out some things about being a husband and how to treat your wife, and then what the Word of God says about forgiveness, I wasn't like jumping up and down like, this is great. I do it now, you know, but that was, you know, 43 years ago. I wasn't too excited about this stuff. Husbands, love your wife just like God loved the church and gave up his self-centeredness and self-centered and selfishness for her. You see, I knew I got one lady to say amen. But that's what it means when the Bible says, like Christ, give up yourself. See, this is how the husband is supposed to submit to his wife. See, all the time, the women always got that elbow in the rib. You're supposed to submit. You're supposed to submit. Like they're a little five-year-old kid that's supposed to obey you. No, children obey. Husband and wife submit. There's a major difference. And when it talks about the husband submitting, there's more for him to do than for the wife. Now, I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, and some of you guys would just wish, shut up. You know. So there were things I wasn't really too thrilled about, so I had to work on that. I had to feel like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that. But you know, the Word just keeps talking to you. You know, you just don't dissuade God because you don't want to do it. He's going to keep talking to you. And then you have to make a decision. And I will admit, after 43 years, when you go down the road that God wants you to go, it's a lot better than when you go down the road you wanted to go. Because I'm sure some of you, just like me, was just a little snot. And wanted my own way. Nobody else in this room, I'm sure. It's somebody, I don't know if you're watching my live stream or where you're at, but somebody out there someplace can relate to that. Searching all our innermost parts so that their innermost workings and will have innermost controls. Giving the Holy Spirit in-house control to help us keep the inward workings in check. Why do we want those inward workings in check? Because we want the right things working in us so the right things can be coming from us. And that's what's going to be seen and manifested. And that's part of being renewed, isn't it? Amen. So go over to Romans chapter 12 again, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Okay? So the first thing he says is offer up your body as a living sacrifice. In other words, you got to make a decision that you're going to go in the direction God wants you to go. And then you can start working on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? Now, verse 1 in the Ben Campbell Johnson translation says it this way. With a vision, then, of the ultimate fulfillment of things, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, to offer up your whole self to God with no strings attached. And this is how we're supposed to live for God in our life, with no strings attached. You know, I remember when, again, years ago, first got saved, and my wife and I would have some issues about some stuff. Well, I'm sorry, you're part of me. I can't have an issue with myself. I was the one that had the issue. She was perfect and fine and well, but I had an issue with her. So there was that verse in Romans that says, overcome evil with good. Don't overcome evil or be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So we would have an argument about something, but I realized she's not the problem.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See, I'm building you up here. So what I realize is that the enemy is getting in there and trying to build a wedge in our relationship. That was the evil. So you overcome that evil by doing good.
That's good.
I didn't necessarily want to do that. Because if we don't agree on something, and she's going to think, if I do good now, she's going to think what she did was just fine.
Yes.
See? So I don't want to do good because she needs to know, as far as I'm concerned, what she did or what she said was not right. She needs to know that. My doing good is not going to make that happen. But then there's the Word of God. And I could hear God talk to me going, hey, yo-yo, did I ask you for your opinion? I'm telling you what to do. You overcome that evil by doing good. Stop being a bonehead and do what I told you to do. You know, I don't like when God talks to me like that. But you know something about God? He's quite honest. So I had to make a decision. Okay, all right, we're having a little argument here. There's a wedge coming up. I could see the wedge coming up, and that's the evil. And the only way I'm going to overcome that evil is by doing good. So I would maybe take her to the mall. Say, let's go down to the mall. Wind up buying her something. Or take her out to dinner. Or, I know, guys, you hate hearing this, but I'm just telling you. You know, and I would just do something that was good because I'm going to say, I'm not going to let this wedge stay here. I'm going to overcome this wedge. Whatever's going on between us, we can just work on it, but that wedge has to get out of there. That's the evil that needs to be overcome. Because you know, when the wedge comes up, you've got those irritated feelings. You got those emotions that are just like, I tell you what. You know how that goes. You know, you're just all upset. You're in knots. You're starting with your head is a knot head. You know, and that's just going on the inside of you. So this is not good for anybody. And the only way you're going to overcome it is by start doing some good. Amen. Now, I could have said to her, you know, let's go to the mall. Let's go out to eat. And she'll be like, no, I don't want to do that. I'd be like, okay, fine. But I try something else. Are you understanding me? Now, I'm not trying to manipulate her. There's a big difference here. I'm not talking about manipulation. I'm not trying to manipulate her into a position. I'm trying to obey God. Major difference. Serving God with no strings attached. So, what would the string be attached to this situation? Well, God, you proved to me that she's not going to pull this stunt again. You proved to me that she's not going to say this again. Prove to me that everything's going to be okay. And you know what God said? Nothing. In other words, you're either going to do what my word says to do, or you're on your own, son. He don't have to stand there and prove nothing to nobody. He's already said it. Make a choice. See, because your new birth is proof enough that everything he says is truth. Because if something in there is not truth, you're not saved. Everything in there is truth. Your new birth is proof of that. So either your new birth is valid or it's not. If it is valid, get on the ball and start obeying the word of God.
Yes.
Let God talk to you. Let God take in-house controls.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
This is how we're supposed to live before God. A lot of Christians, they give up because they haven't made the kind of commitment. And they're not God-serving, but they're self-serving. Years ago, I spoke with a man, it's probably back in the early 80s, and I spoke with a man at this place that I was working, and I was telling him about the Lord, and he said, "I tried all that stuff before." Like, you did, you know, but that was what he said, "I tried all that stuff before." Well, without commitment and without understanding, you're going to quit. Yeah. Because you're more stuck on yourself. And you're not mad that God didn't come through. You're more mad that you didn't come through. Because you're self-serving. Having an eye on the temporal rather than on the eternal fulfillment of things. The fulfillment of things. With a vision then of the ultimate fulfillment of things. Offer your whole self to God with no strings attached. The ultimate, well, what is the ultimate fulfillment of things? What things? The things the lamp of the Lord is searching on the inside of you. The ultimate fulfillment, the attitudes, the motives, the willingness, the walking in love. These are the things that are going to produce eternal rewards. Just because you do right and it looks right, it don't make it right. It all depends on the attitude on the inside, the condition of what's going on the inside. Are you with me? If we serve with strings attached, then it's all about what I can get or what I want, what I can get from God or what I want God to do for me. And you know, it's funny how we treat God like this. Well, God, if you don't do this or if I don't get that, blah, 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 you know, we act as though we're the one that paid the price for his sin. That's how we act, like a bunch of spoiled little kids. We forgot that we're purified and we're supposed to serve the one that purified us. This is not about, oh, just, you know, just a lackadaisical whatever. Oh, yeah, Jesus, I'm just going to believe Jesus. No. He paid the price for your sin. He owns you. You are to serve him with your life. Amen. Glory to God. For a minute, just run over to Psalm 130, verse 4. Psalm 130, verse 4. It says, "But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared or reverenced." There is forgiveness with you that you would be reverenced. There is so many irreverent people towards God that has been forgiven of their sin and delivered out of hell. Oh, I see it all. I've seen it all through the year. I just believe God. I just ask God to forgive me. It'll be okay. Irreverent. The fact that he shed his blood so that the knothead thing you just did can be forgiven. You ought to be on your face reverencing God and thanking him that he's forgiven you. This is not being held against you. The blood of Jesus has washed you clean. Amen. He paid the price for our sin and he deserves to be reverenced. And how do we reverence him? Giving our life up for him. You know, even President Kennedy said it. Don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Well, how much more in the kingdom of God? Stop asking what God can do for you. Start asking what you can do for God. God, what would you have me to do? You know, we have a whole long list of stuff. If we want God, well, I'm believing God. I'm sowing seed for this, and I'm declaring this, and I need God to do. Well, what about what God wants us to do? How long is that list? List? What list? See, this is what our relationship is all about with God. God, what can I do for you? You know, how many of you ever gone fishing? You ever used shrimp for bait? All right, so when you put that shrimp on that hook and you throw that over, whether in the water or side of a boat, wherever you might be fishing, right? You're not offering food to the fish. You're offering bait. That's what you're offering, bait. We're not offering food. What is a bait? Bait is anything used as a lure or to entice somebody. Oh, God, if you will, then I will. Well, God, if you do this, then I'm going to do that. God, if you don't do this, why should I go to church anymore? If you're not going to help me out here, why should I stop lying and cheating? So we're pretty much saying, God, why, God, would I serve you? And we're trying to entice God as though he's impressed with your shrimp. It's amazing. Well, what is all of that stuff? It's serving God with strings attached. We have a string attached to that shrimp. And it's a point that we have to renew our minds to, that we serve God under clean motives. For many, if God doesn't do what they think he should do in the time frame they want him to do it, then they're done. Just like the backyard ball game. Well, I'm taking my bat and my ball and I'm going home. Sometimes we do that with God. I had a man come to church some years ago, back in the 90s, and it was coming up on Christmas time. And he wanted to take me out to Dillard's and buy me. He said, I'll buy you anything you want. Whatever you want for Christmas, I'll buy it for you. Okay. But I knew he wasn't sincere. But I could use some new stuff. So I'm fine. We'll go do that. Because, you know, the Bible says goats are for milk. That's what it says. So he takes me out shopping. I buy some stuff. He was looking for a foothold in the church. That's what he was looking for. If I can give you enough stuff, I can get a foothold in the church. Like he wants to get into the hierarchy, the hierarchy of the church. Oh, yeah. 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 You haven't seen work till you get into the hierarchy. Yeah. Well, what is all that? That's just worldly thinking, worldly ambition, acting like the world, thinking I can just work my way to the top, saying it nicely. Are you with me? So what did he really want? He wanted authority in the church. And the more he pushed for it, boy, the less he got. It just got pushed down more and more and more. And ultimately left the church because he couldn't get what he wanted. Amen. And that happens with a lot of people. They throw in their commitment to God, but then they think that nothing's happening, so they jerk on the string. Anything happening? Anything biting there? I'm jerking on the string. Is anything biting? And when they see nothing's biting, they pull that commitment back. But yet, we're supposed to serve God with no strings attached. So was this man's giving to take me and get me something for Christmas at store, was that Holy Spirit led? No. It's just worldly ambition. And you know, I'm not the one that searches the innermost parts. And you can't fool the one that does. You can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool all the people some of the time. But you'll never fool God. Philippians 3:7. Philippians 3:7, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. The Ben Campbell Johnson translation again says, all these achievements which earned me an enviable place among my peers, I rejected it all for a relationship with Christ. See, our value systems ought to change drastically. When we come to know the Lord and the more we grow in him, our value systems change. Why? Because the inward workings are supposed to be changing. So the whole value system of what we perceive and act in life changes. Nothing should be more important than knowing God. Not just being saved, but knowing him, getting to know him by getting to know his word. This is not about knowing about him or having a mental knowledge of the word. This is not about wealth. It's not about fame. It's not about position. It's not about power. It's not about influence. It's not about anything except coming to know him. Paul was totally committed to God, and no matter what he had or didn't have, he was committed to God, and it wasn't going to change. It was not based on anything in the natural, temporal world. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen. Value systems are to change drastically. If we've been saved for 40 years and we have the same value system that we had 40 years ago, something is wrong. You have not grown. Because values change. Because we should understand and know things differently today than we did even 5 years ago. Our value system should change if we've been in the Word of God and allowed it to speak to us and touch us. Affects the way we think, the way we perceive, the way we mull over stuff, the material of thought that we take in dealing with a situation. You're supposed to change. Value systems. Where are we at? Go to Philippians 4, verse 12 and 13. Because no matter what the Apostle Paul had or didn't have, it did not change his commitment. Philippians 4, 12 and 13. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having an abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Amen. Now that's the kind of attitude that is sure to be pleasing to God. And he says, I know how to get along. The word know, the Greek word oido. It means I'm aware, I behold, and I perceive for my own self. It means to know fully and to understand and to recognize. So this knowing is a personal know for yourself knowledge. Not because somebody gave a testimony. Not because somebody gave an example even from the pulpit. But I know it for myself. You know, Jesus, when he talked to the churches in Revelation, he said, I know your deeds. And that word know is the same word here, oida. I know your deeds. In other words, I didn't hear a testimony about what you were doing. I did not have a report come from an angel about what went on. I have been there and I know for myself. That's why he said, that's why he was walking. Remember when John saw him, he was walking among the candlesticks. That was the churches. He walks among the churches. He comes to see and know for himself. Remember when they were building the Tower of Babel and he said, we have heard about all of that was going on. Let us go down there and see for ourselves. Is what God said. I know for myself. Amen. Remember Job in the book of Job, at the end of the book, he said, I have heard of you with the hearing of the ear, but now I see you and know you for myself. It's a personal involvement with revelation knowledge being put into practice. That's what I know means. I know how because I have personal involvement in the revelation knowledge of what I've learned and I've put it into practice. Amen. So it's not only a knowing, but it includes an inclination. That when you know, it creates in you an inclination to move in a different direction. To lean into a different way. That when that situation comes up, you don't incline to the old way of thinking. You've got a revelation knowledge and you lean into this new way of thinking. Are you with me? It's being renewed in the spirit of our mind. The bent of our soul changes. The material of thought changes. Amen. And that has to become a reality in us as an individual. I could say it and say it until I'm blue in the face, but you've got to take that for yourself.
That's right.
I can't teach it into you. You got to catch it and put it in you. Amen. I know how to get along in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret, being filled and going hungry, having abundance or suffering need. And what's the secret? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So on one side, we have humble means. On the other side, we have prosperity. On one side, we have a circumstance of being hungry. And on the other side, we have a circumstance of having an abundance. But what's the secret of dealing with it? Right in the middle with Jesus, it don't matter what's going on out here. It don't matter if I'm hungry or if I have an abundance. It don't matter if I'm in lack or if I have prosperity. Jesus remains the same, and my relationship with him is the same, and I believe him the same no matter what's going on out here. The secret to survival is Jesus Christ and being set on him. Amen. And that's why back, if you go back up to verse 11 for a moment, he uses the word learned again, just like he did here. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I've learned this. To learn, it means to have a desire or an endeavor to seek to learn and bring into experience. I seek to learn, not just classroom knowledge. You know, there's so many people that you can pass and get a high IQ, but you can't exist in life. So we're not talking about classroom knowledge. We're talking about experiential knowledge. You're endeavoring to learn so you can bring it into your life of experience. And he says, I have learned. In other words, I received instruction. This does not come natural, like, oh, I got this, I know how. No, you got to receive instruction. If you have a problem receiving instruction, you're stuck on your own. This don't come from the natural mind. The natural mind can't figure this out. The things of God and spiritual things, the natural man thinks they're foolish. Amen. You talk to the natural man about being born again. Foolishness. You talk to a born-again believer about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Foolishness. You talk to a born-again, filled with the Holy Spirit believer about being healed. Foolishness. You could be a fool at any point. Not be a fool. You can act foolish at any point. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you got it all together. Son, you just got saved by the hair of your chinny chin chin. The Bible says if the righteous is barely saved, you ought to be on your face thanking God that we're saved. He paid the price for your sin. You didn't pay the price for his. And if he says so, that's it. Period. I don't mean to get excited. But this just don't come through the natural mind. You can't figure it out. The word learn means to be a disciple, a learned one. To continue in, Jesus said to the Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. If you continue in it, abide it. That doesn't mean I walk around with a Bible. I got a Bible. I have a Bible. No, you have to continue in it. It has to be a part of your life, the experience of your life. Amen. Amen. See, Jesus did not seek to impart information. He always wanted to awaken commitment. I'm the vine, you are the branch. He that abides in me, commitment. If you continue in my word, commitment. That's what it's all about. And the Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content. Oh, God, we don't have much, but, you know, we're content with what we have. That's not what he's talking about. The word content in the Greek means to be self-sufficient, to be adequate, to live independent of the world system. Now, that doesn't mean you don't use natural things. You know, we get so goofy. We're such ditch people. Well, it's either natural things or it's just spiritual things. Just spiritual things. There's no natural things. You live in a natural world, you know, and it doesn't mean that you don't use natural things, but you don't set your trust on them. You look to the Lord for his supply. Didn't Elijah declare that there was going to be a drought? And didn't the ravens come and feed him meat? Were they spiritual ravens? Was there spiritual food? No, it was natural ravens bringing natural food. And then when the canal dried up, there was no more water because there was a famine. When there's a famine, water dries up. So when the water dried up, the Lord said, go over to Zarephath, and I got a widow over there, and he goes over there. And the poor widow says, I have enough food for a meal for me and my son. We're going to eat it, and we're going to die. And Elijah says, well, before you die, make me something to eat first. And you know the headlines, you know. Traveling evangelist takes last meal out of the woman's mouth. And of course, you know the account. It never ran out. And they ate for many days. And yet that was all natural stuff. So what does it mean? Again, content. It means self-sufficient. My trust is totally in God. I don't trust in horses and chariots. I'm trusting in the Lord. If the Lord brings a horse, great. If the Lord brings a chariot, fine. But you remember that joke, right, about the man that was in the flood? And he goes up to the roof of his house, and a guy comes by in a helicopter, in a boat, and says, hey, buddy, get in the boat, and I'll get you out of here. He goes, nope, I'm believing God to deliver me. And then he climbs up on the a little further on the roof, to the peak of the roof, and a boat comes by. He goes, hey, buddy, get in the boat. I'll get you out of here. He goes, nope, I'm believing God to deliver me. So then the water rises some more. He gets on top of the chimney, and a helicopter comes by. He goes, hey, buddy, grab the rope. I'll get you out of here. He goes, nope, I'm believing God to deliver me. And, of course, the water rises. He dies. He drowns. And he stands before the Lord, and he said, Lord, I don't understand it. Why didn't you deliver me? And the Lord said, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What more do you want? You know, amen. Amen. It's like the person that they didn't have a car. They were walking, and they were believing God for a car, but they were believing God for a Cadillac. So somebody wanted to give them a Volkswagen. They said, I got a Volkswagen here that you can use, and you can just have it. Nope, I'm believing God for a Cadillac. You can't believe God for a Cadillac driving in a Volkswagen? See, but they thought if I take the Volkswagen, then that means I'm not believing anymore. That's not at all what it means. God is providing something for you in the meantime. And they didn't get the Volkswagen. They didn't get the Cadillac. And they continued walking. Because we think natural thing. Oh, that's a natural thing. Well, you live in a natural world. And God uses natural things. Amen. Paul had a total commitment to God, which means a pledge, a promise to do something, a dedication to a long-term course of action. Commitment means long-term course of action. It's an engagement or an involvement. You know, contracts are not made to be wiggled out of. They shouldn't be. They're supposed to be a long-term contract. You sign on it, that's it. Supposed to be unchangeable. That's what covenant is. Unchangeable. It's a long-term contract. Morgan and Morgan can't even get you out of a covenant. Amen. Ephesians 2:2. Hallelujah. He says, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Again, the Ben Campbell Johnson translation. Your former lifestyle was controlled by a set of values inspired by the adversary who misleads those who have not come alive to God. All right, a set of values. Again, the value system. The value system we had before we got saved, the value system we had when we get saved, and then the value system that continues to change, increase, and grow as we are saved. Because we are to be continually developing and growing in God's divine nature. Well, if you're going to grow in His nature, your value systems are going to change. Amen. Again, we say to God, if you do this, I'll do that. You know, strings attached. When it should be, God, if this is what you want me to do, fine, I'll do it. Period.
Yes, sir.
It's not a game that you bring, take your ball home. This is life. Our security in life is in obeying God. That's where our security is. It's not demanding of Him. It's obeying Him. And we need to renew our mind to His will. Walking in His will is the winning road. Isn't that right? Amen. How do you know when your mind is renewed to the will of God? I mean, talking about any specific area. How do you know when your mind is renewed to His will? When you realize it's His will and you make it the top priority to live in and walk in your life regularly, walking in His will. You will be sure that you're in walking in His will in that area continually. And you'll know that that becomes a priority. Amen?
Amen.
Romans 6:13. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. And to God, I'm sorry, as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Okay? Again, the Ben Campbell Johnson translation. Don't get hooked on those old attitudes and actions that are non-productive and unfulfilling. But open yourself fully to God and permit Him to inspire a new way of thinking, a new way of feeling, and a new way of believing.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Which is just another way of saying Romans 12:1-2.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say it again. Don't get hooked on the old attitudes and actions that are non-productive and unfulfilling. But open yourself fully to God and permit Him to inspire a new way of thinking, a new way of feeling, and a new way of behaving. So when He starts to inspire a new way of thinking, what do you have to do? Think that way. When He wants to inspire a new way of feeling in a situation, what do you need to do? Choose to feel that way. Same thing with a new way of behaving. You've got to choose to behave that way. He'll inspire it. He'll lead you in it, but He won't make the choice for you. We have to make the choice to do it. He'll even empower you to do it, but you got to make the choice. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. A renewed mind. A renewed mind produces new feelings, new thinking, new behaving. The spirit of your mind being restored in your soul. Having strings attached, whether it be with God, whether it be with your spouse, whether it be in any type of a natural relationship, anything at all, to have strings attached is the old way of thinking. What would be another way of saying, what would be another word to use instead of strings attached? It's manipulation. When you throw that string over the board with that shrimp on there, and you're moving it around, you are manipulating that fish to grab that shrimp. And then you can get them. And that's what strings attached are, is you're trying to manipulate. But it's time to think new and put off the old man. And be like Paul that says, my old man was crucified with Christ. Amen. So the proper attitude is, I'm sticking with God no matter what. I'm staying with God no matter how long. I'm continuing with God no matter what happens in my life. Because it's only because of God that I even have life.
Yes.
Isn't that right? Amen. I will continue to love God by obeying His word, holding fast to Him, no matter what the circumstances are, and no matter how long it takes. It just doesn't matter. A renewed mind, taking on the image of faithfulness, maintaining allegiance, constant, loyal, has a sense of duty and responsibility. That's what faithfulness is. Amen. I'm faithful to my wife. I have an allegiance to her. I am constant to her and loyal to her, no matter what she sees in her dreams. I have a strong sense of duty towards her and responsibility. And do you know what I expect in return?
Nothing.
I expect nothing in return. I think it's a great favor that she cooks for me. Really, I don't expect anything in return. Amen. Being reliable, steadfast, no strings attached. No strings attached. You know, I learned it a long time ago that I am responsible to God for me to obey God, no matter what anybody else does, including my wife. Even if she don't obey God, she don't do what she's supposed to do, she don't operate in the marriage like she should, I'm not responsible. I'm responsible for me to obey God. If God says to me that I'm supposed to give myself up for her, then that's what I do. Whether she responds to it or don't, does not matter. No strings attached. To live a life of no strings attached is not a forced issue. Well, I can't have a string attached. And that's fine to go through that thinking, but you have to understand you're working on renewing your mind. That is not a renewed mind, you're working on it. But when it's no longer a forced issue, you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, which adjusted its bent and its very essence of operation. My bent in marriage and essence of operation is so different than it was 51 years ago, 50 years ago, 49 years ago, 43 years ago, 30 years ago. It's changed. Why? Because of getting renewed by the Word of God, taking on a different bent, that when something happens, I don't bend the way I used to. We used to get into arguments, and I would bend into the last 5 years of all the things that she did. And it would just come over and over and over again. Until I made a decision one day. And I said, Lord, you said in your word that you forgive us. You've removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. And when you forgive us, you forget about it. I said, so that's what I'm going to do. I am going to forgive all the way back to when, you know, as many years as it was. I says, I choose to forgive it. Because you said in your word that as you have forgiven us in Christ Jesus, so we should forgive one another. So I chose to forgive at that point. Now, did I forget? I had to work at the forgetting. Because, you know, something would happen and here comes the last 5 years again. I go, nope, I have chosen to forget about that. I will not take that. I said I forgive as God in Christ forgave us. He forgave, he forgot. I forgive and I choose, I'm going to forget about it. And to this day now, I couldn't tell you what those 5 years was about. Couldn't tell you. Because I forget, not because I got old, but because I forgot about it. I chose to forget. I chose to forget about it. You understand? You know, you got to choose these things. It don't just happen. You got to make the choice. Changing the very essence and operation of your inward workings so it becomes its normal function without forcing the issue. Submission and commitment equals faithful. And faithful man abounds with blessings. Amen. So what do you value the most? Is serving God the most important thing in your life? Absolutely. Well, serving God is very simple. It's called renew your mind. That's the number one way that any person can serve God. Renew your mind. Start changing the way you think and start connecting with the nature of God that is in you. Serving God by putting your life in order. That's the number one way. Because how can we do anything for God if my life's not even in order? If I can't believe God to get my life in order and work on me, how am I ever going to believe God to work on you? That's just phony, empty words. Without allowing God to work on me, I have no life to share with you. or anybody. Amen.
Amen.
Serve God by putting our life in order. Have the proper priorities with God and His Word at the top of the list. You know, my daughter, when she went through the issues that she went through in life, and she moved back over here, and she asked me to help her and work on a budget. And she had just started a job. She said, this is how much I'm making. And she showed me all of her bills and everything. And I worked out a budget for her. So she came home that night and she said, did you figure out a budget? I said, I did. I said, we got the tithe right at the top. And then we've got all of your bills. And I said, the good news is we have money for everything except food and clothing. She said, well, why is that good news? I said, because Jesus said, don't worry about what you eat and what you drink. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all those things will be added to you. Amen. And she never went without. Hallelujah. But you got to put God at the top of the list. You could have said, well, we don't have enough money to tithe. No, you don't have enough money to live then. If we have not put God at the top of the list like that, make a fresh commitment. You have to first make a fresh commitment to fall in love with Him again, because you're not going to put Him first if you don't fall in love with Him. You know, I put my wife first in everything because I love her. And it's the same thing with God. He'll be at the top of our list when we choose to love Him. So, if you have fallen out of love with God and you know you need to renew that, then hang out with Him. Just hang out with Him, and you'll start loving Him again. And He'll get to the top of the list. Amen? Amen. Let God break loose in your spirit by the word that you meditate on, and He will restore our soul and touch our life. And you'll be able to live for God and live in life, just living in life with no strings attached. It's such a free life.
Yes, it is.
It is such a free life to live with no strings attached. Not expecting anything from anybody, just do as you know you need to do. It's very freeing. Amen. You can love without expecting a return. You can do good without expecting recompense. It's hard to explain it. It's just very freeing.
Yes, it does.
Very freeing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And everybody can get to that place, and I don't believe that I've even gotten halfway where I need to be. Okay, a quarter of the way. All right, maybe an eighth of the way. I'm working on it. Because there's always more. Isn't that right? Amen. Well, lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we love You. We adore You, Lord. We give You all the praise and the glory. Oh, I thank You, Lord, for all that You are and all that You do. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that even though all of Your promises are yes and amen, if there was no promises, I'd still love You, because You've already done more for me than I could ever say thank You for in all of eternity. You've delivered me out of sin, delivered me out of hell. You've delivered me and unbound me and disconnected me from the works of the devil. Lord, I thank You. Thank You that You've set me free, that it is so good to be free. Thank You, Lord, that we can continue to grow in Your word, press in further, walk in farther, and that we can become freer and freer and freer and freer and freer. I thank You, Lord, that liberty, Father, that there is a law of liberty that we can live by. Oh, I thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Holy Spirit, I just ask You to seal these things on the inside of us, that they become a reality in us and to us. Lord, that as You search our innermost parts, show us the things that we need to work on. Show us what it is we need to change. And when we take that one thing and work on it faithfully and with a discipline to work on that one thing, seven areas of our life will get changed at one time. Father, I thank you that you're a multiplier, that you're a restorer, that you don't restore us back to the way we used to be, but you restore us the way back to the way you made us to be. Lord, I thank you for it and bless you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Well, Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to sow seed, to bring an offering before you, to honor you, to glorify you, and to worship you in our giving. The very substance of our life that we put our time, we put our effort into, that we take of this substance to bless you with it. We thank you for the opportunity to sow our seed today. And I thank you, Lord, that as we are faithful with the use of unrighteous mammon, we can prove ourselves trustworthy with the true riches. So, Lord, I thank you for it, and I bless you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.